Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is the entire run of Welcome to the Wicked Wax Museum. That's a... Oh, fucking Christ, you can't hear me. Oh, can no one hear... Oh. 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 Oh, God, are we good now? For the love of Christ... No, it's been recording. We're good? Is that? I'm thinking about killing myself right now. That's what I'm doing in my life, Christian. All right, Halloween 2011. Give yourself goosebumps. Made on the internets with the people on the internets doing some stuff. Welcome to the Wicked Wax Museum. Swag, swag, swag. Page one. Cool, you exclaimed your best friend Liz and Jake. The field trip to the Wicked Wax Museum is today. I can't believe our class is going to see it the day before the grand opening. Finally, Mr. Dudding's history class won't be such a bore, Jake adds, flipping his black baseball cap around backwards. Props. Mr. Dunning, more like Mr. Dole. You said it, Liz giggles. Her red curls bounce when she laughs. Hey, why is it called the Wicked Wax Museum anyway? That's the name of the guy who owns it, Jake explains. Are the levels really listenable, or are we just gonna fuck it? I'll quit. I'll read The Wayside School is Falling Down and just say fuck it. But no, everything's fine. If I go on with any more pauses, I'm gonna have to edit things, and you know I can't do things later on. Okay. Well, fuck everyone. That's the name of the guy who owns it, Jake explains. Dr. Easy Wicked. He made the wax figures. Well, according to Mr. Dole, Liz adds, the museum is supposed to bring history to life for us, or something like that. Yeah, right, Jake smirks, and maybe the wax figures will come to life, too. Really? I feel like that was quite the premonition on the first page. Oh, gross, Liz cries. You're giving me the creeps, Jake. Come on, you two, you say. The bus is here. Let's be the first in line so we can grab the back seats. Turn to page two.
You guys don't get any choices.
On the bus, you rush to the back like Rosa Parks. You and Liz take a two-seater. Jake sits alone across the aisle with his red sneakered feet on the seat. Now no one else can sit there. Jake leans back. His chin-length brown hair falls over the top of the seat. Let's get this crate rolling, he mutters. All right, people. Mr. Dunning shouts from the front of the bus. Thanks to my personal donation to the museum, we get to see the place before it even opens to the public tomorrow. The teacher does one last head count. All right, Saul, he says to the driver. Here we go. Let's go, motherfuckers. As soon as the bus starts moving, Jake presses his nose and opens his lips flat against the window for the viewing pleasure of the other people on the road. Then he breathes on the window and writes in steam. Honk if you hate blacks. Honk, you say, laughing. Honk, honk, Liz adds. You and Liz are honking so loud you don't see Mr. Dunham coming down the aisle. He looks mad and black. That's enough of you three. You're always making trouble, the red-faced Mr. Dunning sputters. If you hate history so much, you can just wait for the rest of us in the lobby. Oh, brother, you groan at the brother. There goes our fun. Minutes later, the bus pulls up to a stone building. Mr. Dunning leads the class into the lobby of the Wicked Wax Museum. A scowling woman in a purple turban and gold bracelet sits inside the ticket booth. "These three students will not be going in," Mr. Dunning tells her. He turns to you, Jake, and Liz, and points to the bench by the wall. "Sit there, you little faggots, and you better sit there when I come back." The class leaves you behind as they enter the Hall of Historical Exhibits. A red door closes after them. Jake manages to sit still for a few minutes. Then he jumps up and says, "It's time for us to take a little tour of our own."
Turn to page 75. You guys don't have any choices, so fuck off. Jake does whatever he wants. He swags to the maximum.
Oh, this one has a choice. "Jake, don't!" you whisper loudly as he disappears through the red door. You glance at the ticket lady. She's busy with something in the booth. "Jake!" you call again. "We're in enough trouble already!" You jump up from the bench and try to grab the door before it closes. Too late! The door slams in your face. "Hey, open up!" you hear Jake calling through the door. He rattles the knob. "Help!" he cries. Liz jumps up to help you push the door. It won't budge. "Ha ha, funny! Stop kidding around, Jake!" he scolds. "Help!" Jake screams. He really does sound scared. You hear a whir, like a motor starting up. The click of the gears mingles with Jake's cries. "Jake!" you shout. There's no answer. You press your ear against the door and listen. "I think something is really wrong!" Callie, did you start using the internet? Fuck! What? Wow. Alright, internet. Zip, zip it about. "Help!" Jake screams again. He really does sound scared. Then you hear a whir, like a motor starting up. The click of the gears mingles with Jake's cries. "Jake!" you shout. There's no answer.
Let me see if I'm recording.
I am! There's no answer. You press your ear against the door and listen. "I think something is really wrong," you whisper to Liz. "His cries are getting further away. We have to get in." You shake the door handle and give one last push. Suddenly, the door opens easily. Darkness greets you both. I think darkness is the black teacher. Darkness and the loud whirring of the motor. No sign of Jake. All right, we got two options here. If you go in after Jake, you can turn to page 30. If you decide to help first, go to page 111. But hurry!
Do we want to help him, or do we want to get help?
Ching! Page 30! It's unanimous. Ooh, this one has two options as well. No time to lose. Jake needs your help. You step into the darkness. Liz clutches your arm. I don't like that motor sound, she stammers. You don't like it either, but it's too late to turn back now. The heavy red door slams shut behind you. A thick bolt slides into its place. You're locked in. Slowly, your eyes adjust to the strange red light that fills the room. Then, you see what's making the motor sound. Ahead of you is a conveyor belt moving slowly through a red steamered opening into a black tunnel. God, I know read good. It reminds you of those luggage carousels at the airport. But there are no suitcases on this conveyor belt. Instead, there's a body, Jake's, and it's moving slowly around you. His red sneakers are disappearing into the tunnel. Then, you notice something else. Out of the corner of your eye, you see something move. Across the room, it's only a shadow, but there's definitely something there. What the fuck is it? If you want to find out what's moving through the shadows, turn to page 93. If you ignore it and just go after Jake, turn to page 18.
I said
If you want to find out what's moving through the shadows, turn to page 93. If you ignore it and just go after Jake, turn to page 18.
93 swag. Yeah, we don't just make our own options here. This isn't Sandbox Choose Your Own Adventure. We're not trying to get CJ a girlfriend and stuff, okay? We have a certain order things. This isn't Grand Theft Auto, it's Final Fantasy X, where you think you make your own options, but you just kind of go down the road where they make you.
And shoot the cop. Christian rules. Someone is watching you. You feel it. There's something in the shadows across the room, and you have to find out what it is. Maybe it's Jake, you think. Maybe this whole thing is one of his stupid pranks. Maybe he put his sneakers on the conveyor belt so you'd think he was unconscious. Maybe not. Jake! You call, hopefully. Is that you? There's no reply. Mr. Dunning, you try again. A spotlight suddenly shines down from the ceiling. It blinds you for a moment. Then you and Liz both gasp. The light is shining on a person, but it sure isn't Mr. Dunning. The giant wears a black hood and a black cape. Oh my god, he's a Death Eater! He holds a gleaming axe blade high in the air. In a moment, he will bring it down on the victim kneeling before him. It's the Sexecutioner! You exclaim, horrified. He was in one of the Goosebumps books we read. Remember, Liz? Wow. He's actually promoting Goosebumps books. What a fucking conceited douchebag. No offense, RL. Yeah, Liz whispers. The Sexecutioner! Her eyes are wide. She can hardly breathe. Then she screams. It's Jake! He's gonna be sexecuted! Turn to page 99. Your stomach turns over. Maybe it's diarrhea. Liz is right. The figure kneeling with his head on the chopping block, his chin-length brown hair, just like Jake's! Jake! You scream. You dash over and grab his hand to pull him off the chopping block. But what you feel startles you. Jake's hand is covered with wax. Maybe he went to the carnival and made a candle of his hand, making his own hand symbol. I like to do the Star Trek one, or the Shocker, or doing the pink, doing the stink, which is also the Star Trek one.
Right then, the executioner's arms glide downward. The axe gleams in the spotlight. Whack! The steel axe blade lands square on Jake's neck. Ah! Ow!
Turn to page 42. It says quick turn to page 42, but I don't have the dexterity to do that, so I'll just turn there on my own time.
The whack of the axe on the chopping block is followed by a thud. The severed head rolls and lands on your feet. Ah! You scream. Real monsters! The glassy eyes are staring up at you, but wait. Those aren't Jake's eyes at all. They're marbles. You exclaim to Liz. This is just a wax figure. It's part of an exhibit. It doesn't even look like Jake, except for the hair. Ha! Liz laughs nervously. I wasn't fooled 1 minute, were you? She looks at the headless wax figure and shudders. I wasn't scared, you reply, trying to sound braver than you feel. To prove it, you reach up and tweak the Sexecutioner's waxy nose. It's all fake, see? Yeah, Liz says, giving the towering figure a figure's cheek a pinch. Just fake. You're not so sure anymore, though. You don't want to scare Liz or anything, but you touched his nose. You felt, what is it? Breath? Yes. Warm breath. Coming from the Sexecutioner. But that's impossible. Or is it?
Turn to page 86. If this one doesn't have a choice, I'm just going to burn the book and quit. I lied about that. It doesn't have a choice. I'm just going to keep going. I tried to sound like a badass for a second, but I'm just going to trudge on.
You lean closer to the Sexecutioner. This time, you're sure. The wax figure's chest is definitely moving. Slowly. In and out. In and out. In, out. Half, half, whole, half, half, whole. Finish. Is this part of the exhibit? What are you doing? Liz jokes. Checking him for bad breath? Did you see it?
"See what?" Liz asks. She takes a closer look at the wax axeman. Then, her eyes grow wide. They made it look like he's breathing. The spotlight above the exhibit flickers. Liz grabs your arms. "This is too creepy," she cries. "Let's find Jake and get the fuck out of here." But you're too busy examining the sexecutioner. Curiosity overcomes fear. You scratch at the waxy hand with your fingernail. It kind of grosses you out, but at the same time, it fascinates you. All the while, the big waxy figure's barrel chest moves in and out, in and out, in and out, ever so gently.
Turn to page 78. Derp, derp,
derp, derp, derp, derp. Really? The wax hand on the executioner peels away easily. You flicked a soft lump of stuff off your finger and scratch some more. This time, you scrape a patch on his arm. You dig deeper with your nail. Under the cool layers of wax, you feel a warm spot. You squint your eyes and look closer like an Asian. Is it only flesh-colored wax, or is it really flesh? Turn to page 132!
I need a drink.
Swag. This one has like half a page of options. You're busy scratching the wax surface of the executioner that you hardly notice what's happening, but it gradually dawns on you. Fingers. Five of them. Five fingers have wrapped themselves around your arm, and they're trying to squeeze. You can't bring yourself to raise your eyes to the executioner's face. Your eyes are levels with his chest. In and out. In and out. In and out. You gulp. "Liz," you say. "I certainly hope that's not you squeezing my arm. Or I hope it is you." Dick joke. Damn it, I'm so stupid. "Knock it off," Liz says from across the room. "You're scaring me." They're not Liz's fingers. That can mean only one thing. What happens next depends on how easily scared you get. Are you the type who flies into panic, or are you cool and collected when things get scaried? Go ahead and test yourself. Hold your hand away from your body. Can you keep your fingers perfectly still, or do they wiggle and twitch? That's not fair. I ate Adderall today. We're a bunch of fucking alcoholics. No one can fucking put their hand out straight.
Are we trembling or keeping? What are we voting at here? It looks like everyone in chat is just hailing Hitler. By the way, everyone just sticks their fucking hands out.
If you hate Lodjuden, turn to page 102.
Now, I'm saying, are we going straight or trembling? Just say straight or trembling at this point. I can't fucking tell.
We are hailing Hydra. One for straight and one for trembling.
Straight. Two for straight. All right, we're going straight. For once in our lives, we're going straight.
Turn to page 10. "Liz," you say, trying to stay calm, "we've got a problem." "Problem?" Liz asks, doing her best troll face. "What problem?" She looks right at you, but she doesn't realize why you're standing so still. "What is it?" she asks, staring at you. You move your eyes downward. "My hand," you whisper softly. "His hand," you add even more softly. Liz looks at the executioner's fingers wrapped around tightly on your hand. As she's watching, the executioner raises his index finger and waves it at Liz. "He's alive!" she screams. She lunges forward. Using both hands, she shoves the executioner backwards and throws him completely off balance. The axe goes flying out of his hand! You scramble over the axe. It's yours. As the giant creature tries to get up, you raise the axe over your head. But before you do, or before he can bring that fucking shit down, on your black cape... You can do it, Dune. I believe in you. But before you can bring it down again on your black-caped enemy, someone stops you. "Got you," says a man's voice.
Page 13.
Hey, yo! Can I turn up the mic on here? You guys don't like mic shit? I get excited and I yell and I think it caps out.
Should I turn it up or down? What should I do? I can't choose my own life's adventure. Up, down, Christian, you know about sound.
I know about the internet.
What do we do? Up would be good. Got it. That was strange. All right. Can you guys still hear me? We all good? Yeah. Do I start up? God damn it. Was I going to page 13 or 12? 13. We good? Sip it about. Sip up about a waha. Sip up about a waha. Yes. No. Maybe. It's like a love letter in fifth grade. Can we check a box, please? Oh my god, can I please keep reading? Or no? Huh? Sick of it? Lucas? Lucas is dead? Alright, sweet.
Someone yanks the axe out of your hands. You spin around, your eyes widen in surprise. Two men in doctor's masks and overalls are standing behind you. One is tall, one is thin.
I had some sort of joke in my mind, but it went nowhere.
The other is short and round. You hear...
You're here to finish the exhibits, not to finish them off, sneers the shorter man.
Thanks to you, we have to start all over with the executioner exhibit, adds the tall man.
What are they talking about? You and Liz are too stunned to ask. You watch the two men lift up the frozen executioner and carry him to the conveyor belt. Curls of wax litter the floor. They lay him down on the belt and watch him as he disappears through the red velvet streamers. Dr. Wicked won't like this. There's no time for do-overs, the old man grumbles. Do people that are adults say do-overs? As for you two, the other man says, shoving you roughly, it's time for you to join your friend. He's been waiting for you in the skin scraping center.
No!
Liz cries.
What have you done, Jake?
The two men laugh.
Nothing we won't do to you, too, the short one promises.
Fucking Jake. And turn to page 6. This one has no choice either. When there's no choice, I'm just, like, enticed to read as quickly as I fucking can.
Liz looks as scared as you feel. Don't be afraid, the man holding her declares. The dipping doesn't hurt for long. You won't get away from this, you warn. Our teacher, Mr. Dunning, is friends with the owner of this place. He made a personal contribution to the museum.
You're the ones who won't get away, says your captor. He doesn't know it, but the biggest contributor Mr. Dunning made is you kids.
Oh my goodness gracious! You'll never see your teacher again, that's right, adds Liz,
as Lizard's guard. Dr. Wicked ordered us to make sure the new figures for the unfinished exhibits before the grand opening of the museum tomorrow!
The press and television news people are arriving in 2 hours, adds the tall man. We've got a lot of body dipping to do in a very little time.
Body dipping? You screech. Where's Mr. Dunning? Where's Jake? I demand to see them. Now.
And you start to scream.
Scream all you like, kid, says the short one. Your friend is being processed. It's done in stages. First the screaming. First the steaming, then the skinning, then the hot wax dipping. It's hard to create exhibits of such horrifying quality, you know. But this is supposed to be a history museum, Liz cries.
No! Turn to page 30. Oh my god, Oh, this one has a choice. There's Goosebumps fan club information in the back, which is really awesome. I need to send away for that. Can anyone loan me $13.95 plus $2 shipping and handling? Can someone PayPal that shit to me? Oh, wait, never mind. That's for Canadians. $8.95. Plus $2 shipping and handling.
Yeah.
No, you missed nothing good, Lucas. It's just shit. All right.
History? The tall worker laughs. That's a good one. The public wants horror, not history, and we aim to please. You've already met the executioner. Soon, you'll meet the others.
Others? You cry. What others?
The short man answers.
First things first. You fucking with the worst, I'll be sticking pins in your head like a fucking nurse.
Yeah, nah. No Wu-Tang? Fine.
There's no time to steam you. We'll send you straight to the next step. He pulls a red curtain aside.
Red beef curtain.
A door in the wall slides open to a dimly lit hallway. At the end, there's a tall glass door with the red letters on it. They say, Skin Scraping Center. And there's Jake on the other side.
I feel like if I was murdering children and turning them into wax figures, I wouldn't make the time to have a Skin Scraping Center plaque made up custom. I feel like I just ignore it and know what that room did.
Jake! You cry. Hold on, we're coming to get you! He struggles in the arms of another masked museum worker. Now he's being strapped onto a rolling stretcher and pushed out of sight. He's gone again, but at least you know he's still alive. Get moving, the tall man orders. They push you and Liz through the doorway. The door slides shut behind you and locks. You and Liz are alone, but now it's time to make your move. You've got to act before they turn Jake into a statue. On the wall, two buttons glow. One is yellow, one is green. They look important. Just what you need to create a distraction. But which button should you push? Yellow or green?
Oh my god. I'm gonna let you guys mull this over for a bit as I pee and grab another tall can and save this audio file. Alright, I'm back. I get a tall can of Tecate that I dropped in the kitchen floor, so I'm waiting a while to open up. Hey, Dana, remember my kitchen? Remember what my kitchen looked like? That's where I keep the booze. Alright, so we all decided on yellow, right? Four votes for yellow? Well, in the immortal words of Skinhead Rob of the Transplants, tall cans in the air, let me see them, fuck you. And so we begin. Page 16, all the votes for yellow, you push the yellow button, instantly screams of, god damn it, did I press record? Yes, I did. You push the yellow button, instantly screams and moans of agony fill your ears. Wall panels open, revealing dioramas on both sides of the hall. Liz screams too. Wax figures from the history of horror pose in gruesome scenes. You're surrounded by villains and monsters and Native Americans and all sorts of terrifying people, not the kind of distraction you had in mind. Count Chocula bares his fangs, dripping with the blood of the wax victim in his arms. The creature from the Black Lagoon drags a screaming woman into the steaming swamp, presumably to make his way to her and just fuck her. I hate myself so much right now.
Mud Monsters, King Jelly Jam, The Mummy, monsters from every Goosebumps book, god, you conceited asshole, you've ever read, every movie you've ever seen, they're all here in the exhibit hall of horror, but they're only wax.
I like that there's two Goosebumps references in this so far. I just imagine that, like, at the point this was written, which was, goddamn. Do-do-do-do-do. 1996, it was all just hookers and blow for R.L. Stine. It was just so much money, he had no idea what to do with it, and just snorting fat rails and just cornhole and strippers and stuff. God, those Goosebumps books!
But they're only wax, you tell yourself. Exhibits in the museum. And all that roaring, screaming, and crying. It's being pumped in through the speakers. Scary, but fake. Right? Meanwhile, the Skin Scraping Center sign flashes on and off at the end of the hall.
Wow, it's a neon sign.
Thank you, Boop. Reminding you of the real danger ahead. 122.
Into the can graveyard you go. The Goosebumps drinking game is... Oh, God. I don't know what I'm getting at there. I have problems with alcohol.
There's no safe place to go. The door behind you is locked. The door ahead of you leads to the skin scraping. Whatever the fuck that is. But you know you have to get there and save Jake. You and Liz cling to each other as you walk through the Hall of Horrors. Past Count Chocula. Past the creature from the Black Lagoon. Past the Mud Monsters. Past all the registered trademarks of R.L. Stein. Past all of them. The hall is about as long as a football field.
I have no idea how long a football field is. I have an idea how long the Starship Enterprise, the Enterprise D, the Enterprise E, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. I know how long all of those are. Football field is just an arbitrary fucking number to me.
And about halfway through, you stop. Did you see what you just saw? You study the waxy red drops of blood clinging to Dracula's fingers. His lips are curled black, showing you blood-soaked gums and a crimson tongue.
Looks like someone needs to floss. Fuck, I hate myself.
Out of the corner of your eye, you see the scaly creature from the Black Lagoon in the next exhibit. His webbed hands clutch the long hair of his victim and tighten their grip. In front of your eyes, you are just imagining things. Count Dracula is turning into focus. He's turning to focus his red eyes on you. And so are all the figures in the wicked Hall of Wax. They're all alive, just like the sex executioner. As if you can read your thoughts, suddenly all the wax creatures drop their victims and turn their evil eyes on you. No! Dracula's gonna suck your blood, and the creature from the Black Lagoon is presumably going to rape you.
Because of the implications, you know, the implications, like Dennis Reynolds.
All at once, the living, breathing wax villains step, crawl, and fall out of their horror.
All right. Come on, Dune. Let's get your head in the game here.
Swag. All at once, the living, breathing wax villains step, crawl, and fall out of their horror scenes. Clawed hands, fanged mouths, and slime-covered arms reach out for you and Liz. You decide not to stick around and find out what they have in mind. Run, Liz! You cry over the shouts, moans, and groans of the pack of creatures. Run to the skin center! You both make a mad dash for the end of the hall, but Count Chocula is a step ahead of you. His cold, waxy form steps in your path just before you get to the glass door. He smiles a horrible fang smile. You put on the brakes and step back. Scree!
That's what brakes sound like in my world.
The rest of the wax attackers line up behind the Count. The wolfman howls. Hoo! The Frankenstein monster groans. Breathing their hot, rancid breath in their faces, they advance on you. You retreat in sheer terror. Your legs are shaking. Liz's teeth are chattering. You might be pregnant. Looks as if they've got you trapped. The door behind you is locked. Remember? Dracula licks his lips hungrily. With all these monsters breathing down your necks, there's only one thing you can think of to do. And you find out about that on chapter page 59. You you push the green button. The ceiling above you opens. A large pair of tongs reaches down and lifts you up, and lifts you and Liz up through the opening in the ceiling. As you rise,
if I hold the book like this with the front part folded over, and it's like that, I feel like I'm reading a poem. That's all. And there's no other point from that. Besides, that's how douchebags at poetry readings go. They're just like, fuck that. I'm just gonna read this one page.
As you rise, you see the floor below you speeding downward and away from you. I'm gonna read it like a poem. In fact, you realize you're not moving up at all.
The tongs are holding you in place, while all that is below you sinks farther and farther away. And they are just going to keep us hanging here, you said aloud.
Apparently I only know that black preachers read poems. I'll just keep going.
You spoke too soon. A veil of mist gathers at your feet. Your feeling of dangling in midair disappears. Solid ground is under your feet again. You peer down and see you're standing on a sidewalk. The tongs release and you vanish. When you glance up to see what happened to them, you see a row of small apartment buildings.
Hey! What is this place?
You say. Page 33. There's not a choice here. Boop is an idiot and everyone hates her and no one liked her episode of Maid.
Oh, I went there. I brought that up, didn't I? I'm not supposed to bring that up, am I?
I liked your episode of Maid. You know, homecoming queen's important.
It's so foggy here. Who can tell what this place is? Liz whispers. A full moon lights up the night sky. A single gas lamp casts weird shadows against the brick walls of the buildings. Liz moves the mist away with her hand and looks around. The gaslight flickers, but nothing else moves. All is quiet. All is still. It's a city, Liz says softly. An empty city, it looks like. You reply a little nervously. We're the only ones here. Maybe we somehow wandered into the room of requirement. A metal garbage can falls over with a crash, and a surprised cat wails in the alley. You turn in the direction of the noise and scream, Liz, look out behind you! Liz whirs around and gasps. Uh-oh! You're not the only ones here after all.
94.
Page 94.
This one has a choice.
What?
The tall, shadowy figure of a man stands in the swirled cloud of mist. He wears a dark overcoat and a wide-brimmed hat pulled down over his eyes. Maybe it's Pete Doherty. As the fog clears, you see his hands are stretched out in front of him. He's reaching for Liz's throat. Look out! He's gonna strangle you! You exclaim, Liz ducks. The strangler keeps reaching for her.
You know, he's actually gonna strangle her now, though, because they made the strangler capitalized. As if that's just who he is. He's the strangler, like he's the president.
Keeps reaching for her. This time you reach for her too. You pull her in the opposite direction and start running. Are those footsteps behind you? Is the strangler following you? You desperately want to look back, but it might slow you the fuck down. If you look back over your shoulders, turn to page 50. If you keep running and don't look back, turn to page 8.
One for 50 and one for 8. One for keep running. Let's see what that is. It's also 8.
That's how I assume all ranchero music is when you actually hear it. The lyrics like that.
Alright, we're all running away and not looking back. Except for Bonsoir.
Page 8. That means Ocho in Mexican. You keep running and don't look back. You don't have to see him. Now you can hear the strangler's footsteps behind you. Hurry, Liz! He's following us! You run to the door of the brick apartment building closest to you and try the handle.
Locked.
You run to the entrance of the brick...
Wow. I started that same paragraph again with the exact same enthusiasm. That kind of ruined the moment.
The strangler is catching up. You hurry to the next door.
Locked!
The strangler is closing in on you. Liz trips and stumbles.
My ankle! She cries, hopping on one foot. I twisted it!
Really? Not even like an I think I broke it, just I twisted it?
I got a boo-boo!
The strangler is gaining on you. You drag Liz to the next door.
Locked! All locked!
There's only one building left to try.
Liz, you say, pulling her along behind you. Come on, you've got to make it a little further.
You reach the door, the last building. There's a candle burning in the window on the top floor. You whisper hoarsely to Liz. This one's got to be open for us.
Page 79. Swag, 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 swag.
You turn the handle. You jiggle the handle. The toilet does not stop running. The door is unlocked. You open the door and push Liz inside the warm building. There's a staircase in front of you. You turn back and see the strangler reaching the walkway leading up to the door. You have only seconds left before he'll get to you. You and Liz race up the stairs, just steps ahead of the menacing man. He catches you by the hand.
Got you.
He growls.
Let me go.
You cry, twisting your hand in his. Liz pulls at you as you pull at him. You scratch at his gripping hand with your free hand. Gobs of soft wax are stuck under your fingernails like you just beat off. He's just wax like all the others. Wax.
But alive, too. 129.
You twist and scratch and scream and shout until you pull yourself free from the wax madman. You grab Liz and pull her up the stairs. You reach the room where the light is on. There's no time to knock. You throw open the door and come face to face with the tall museum worker who captured you at the executioner's room.
let's all just relax for a second. I feel like we're getting a little worked up here. This isn't great for my blood pressure.
But addiction to alcohol is... He's still wearing the white overalls, but he's taken off the doctor's mask.
I've been sexpecting you.
He says, you didn't really think you could get away, did you? You're staying with us forever. He looks past you and speaks to the man behind you. Aren't they, strangler?
Wait. So the guy knew the Strangler was named the Strangler, despite the fact that they just assumed the Strangler was named the Strangler because of his love for strangling. Dear R.L. Stein.
You turn to run, but the Strangler's towering figure blocks the way. Why try to leave? The man in the overall snarls. You should feel honored to be part of the grand opening of the museum. While he talks, you search the room with your eyes. You're looking for anything that might save you and Liz. Then you see it. The candle in the window. You've got an idea. And it might work!
What? R.L. Stein did not write this for stupid people. He wrote it for me. Fucking genius. A swag to the maximum. Let me save this file, because I have a feeling I'm going to kick out the plug of my computer when I get overly excited. La da 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 da. Microphone is on, motherfuckers.
Page 7.
Franklin? I feel bad.
With your eye on the candle in the window, you start screaming wildly.
You start wilding out. Sorry, Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon's wilding out. That was a television series because people aren't very smart.
You fling your arms in the air and flip your hands. You bob your head up and down like a dashboard doll with a loose spring like the one I have of Snooki that's in a box over there. Grab the kid, the worker shouts at the strangler. Liz can't believe her eyes. You've never gone totally berserk before. You wink at her, and then she gets the idea. Now she shrieks wildly too. When the attention turns to Liz, you reach for the candle at the window, you wave the flickering flame in her face to the strangler, back and forth and back and forth, closer and closer to the waxy cheeks. No! The man in the overall screams when he sees what you're up to. Not fire! He'll melt! Take it away! It's too late for the strangler. From beneath the wide-brimmed hat, flesh-colored wax drips down in a puddle. The museum worker pushes you aside and tries to glob the hot wax back in place. He looks up and snarls, "You'll pay for this. I promise you, you'll fucking pay for this."
109. No, I have no more Adderall. Avin sent me some.
You and Liz waste no time getting in there. Back down the street, you gaze up at the building. From the window at the very top, the museum worker sticks his head out and screams, "You'll pay for this! You'll pay! We've got your friend Jake, and we'll get you too!" "Hurry, Liz," you say. "We better get out of here!" She groans and rubbing her ankle. "I can't run anymore," she says. "My ankle is too sore. I need to rest a minute." You gaze up the street and see a man in overalls coming out of the building she was in.
or he wasn't.
Quickly, you pull Liz into the dark doorway of the nearest building. By mistake, she leans back against the door and hits the doorbell.
That's the onomatopoeia for the actual doorbell ringing.
An ear-stinging buzzer sounds. The door opens automatically. A long hallway stretches in front of you. At the end of it, a woman motions for you to come.
Yeah, that was a woman motioning. It was a hand job joke.
At the end of the... It's the ticket lady from the lobby of the museum. What's she doing here, you wonder?
Uh-oh, something's fishy. I think that was a vagina joke, but I'm not completely sure.
If you turn back, go to page 43. If you go inside, I think that might also be a vagina joke. Go to page 116. Alex is here!
Hey, Alex, sometimes the greatest vagina is the one you share with friends.
Alex, are we turning back? Are we going inside? We're going in, and this one has choices, which is always a good sign. I will go in your anus all day.
Just in case anyone knows, Alex, the one that's on right now, that's looking all just looking hot. Let's just be honest. He's looking hot is the one that did the sweet, sweet 90s GeoCities-style goosebump site.
You go inside the building and slam the door behind you. Once inside, you see a lighted sign on the wall. It flashes. Black, red, black, red, black, red, black, red, black, red, black, red, black, red. When it flashes red, the word future is spelled out in black. When it flashes black, the word past is spelled out in red. Future, past. The woman who was selling tickets in the lobby stares into a crystal ball. She's really a fortune teller. Wait, that explains that wacky purple turban she's wearing. As you approach her, she looks up at you. I know all for my crystal ball.
Dude, I think she just knows luck. She got an 8-ball of crystal, am I right? High five. Fuck you guys.
She says mysteriously, I see you're all the ones with no tickets, eh? And how will you pay your way?
Well, you stammer, I mean, we don't have any money on us or anything. Mr. Dunning was supposed to.
It's too late for tickets now. You're already in. What you need is a ticket out. She swirls her hands over the crystal ball and asks you to make your choice, red or black. Future or past? You must decide, and you must decide fast.
She's not great with rapping, but we'll see.
The volume is so low because Christian yelled at me, Alex. It's too hard to decide on your own. Let a deck of cards help you. Go find a pack in your house and pick a card.
If you pick a red card for future, turn to page 23. If you pick a black card for the past, turn to page 1.
Swag.
All right. So, for this case,
magic card booster pack. Bought this 2 days ago. There's equal chance of red and black in this bitch.
So, we grab.
It's red. First card I grabbed is red.
That is mountains. Also, you can see behind Alex, there's a meme cabinet of his in the background that is absolutely incredible. Card is red. Turn to page 23.
Red, Liz says, like my hair!
and my pubes. Curtain mask drapes.
The fortune teller cackles. Two gold teeth in the front of her mouth look like little bee glittering in the flashing lights. She looks pleased.
The future shall be, then, my dear.
A sudden wind blows through the hallway. It swirls and whirls around you, whipping Liz's hair into your face. What's going on? You yell. What? Liz yells back, but you can barely hear her. The roaring of the sudden wind fills your ears.
I was making it so the listeners can understand wind in the ears, in case that they've lived inside their whole life.
What's going on? You yell. What? Liz yells back, but you can barely hear the roaring. The wind fills your ears. You tuck your head down and lean against the gust. You feel it whipping around you like a whirlpool. It whips your head back and forth. It whips your head back and forth. It's so strong. You're afraid of it going to rip you apart. It's like 1,000 iron hands tugging at you. Then you notice that your feet are off the ground. An enormous whoosh. You and Liz are sucked up in the heart of the tornado. You shoot upward. Far below you, you can see the fortune teller. She's holding up a sign that reads,
"The future is yours."
What can that mean? You think you're about to find out. Take a look at your hand. Can you find your lifeline? If you don't know how to find your lifeline, turn to page 126. If finding your lifeline is a piece of cake, turn to 103. Alright, look at my hand. Is there a lifeline? Ignore, like, the dried semen and fucking alcohol residue. Lifeline? Yeah? Swag? Where's Christian's hand with the sweet hand tattoos? Do I have a lifeline? Am I alive? God, where's Professor Trelawney when you need her? Alright, we're all going to 126, I assume. Wait, we're all going to the one that, oh, for full of people that don't understand lifelines like me?
You stare at your palm. You have no idea which line in your hand is your lifeline.
I don't think I can take this turning much longer, Liz moans. I feel like I'm stuck in a blender.
Will I blend?
It's quieter in the eye of the tornado, so you don't have any trouble hearing her.
Me too, you say as the wind whips you around and around. I just want to find Jake and get the fuck out of here.
The tornado funnel carries you up higher and higher. The next time you glance down, you see a huge vat of swirling, bubbling, boiling liquid. She's making meth like Walter White.
Men in white overalls are everywhere. Some are busy mixing, some are busy measuring, and some are stirring and whatever it is in those vats. A strong odor arises and reaches your nose. You know exactly what that smell is. Methamphetamine. Oh no, sorry, hot wax. I apologize, it's hot wax. Oh. Franklin, we don't lick our anuses while Daddy's reading.
Look down! You warn Liz. It's too late. She's already seen what you've seen. She knows hot wax when she smells it, and she's panicked.
I'm not waiting around to be dropped into that, Liz says, batting her arms against the sides of the wind funnel.
I read that correctly, and I'm not sure if I should... Oh, whatever.
Suddenly, Liz's arms break through the solid wall of wind. Wind right before your eyes, she is sucked out of the funnel. Liz! You shout. Seconds later, her arm reaches in from the outside, grabs your arm, and yanks you out, too.
Ooh, I'd like if Liz yanked me out of my...
Ugh! You say, trying to catch your breath. My stomach feels like it exploded. I don't think we're going to have to make it for another minute. I don't think we're going to make it for another in here.
My stomach feels like it exploded. Diarrhea joke. I didn't think we were going to make it for another minute in here. Another diarrhea joke.
Uh-oh, Liz gulps as she looks around. I have a feeling we're not out of danger yet.
Turn to page 9. Always lol diarrhea. This one has a choice.
Liz is right. You've just stepped out of the tornado and into the skin-scraping center. It's a laboratory filled with workers in white overalls. They're so busy polishing long steel tubes.
If anyone wants to polish my long steel tube, you can actually email Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com.
They don't see you and Liz standing by an electrical control box in the corner. Jake is here, still strapped onto the rolling stretcher. His mouth and eyes are covered with silver tape. A worker is polishing the stretcher toward a giant steel tumbler.
Oh, dude, RL was so ahead of his time having a tumbler.
Its beehive shape and the way it turns around on an axis reminds you of the back of a cement truck. Another worker opens the tumbler door. The inner walls are lined with sandpaper. The worker turns a dial. Inside, a shower of coarse gravel beats against the sandpaper walls. Anything placed in there will be skinned in seconds. You watch in horror as Jake is wheeled up to the ramp and into the skin-scraping machine. Do something! Liz cries. Quickly, you open the control box behind you. Inside are two levers. One is marked POWER, and the other says POWERLESS!
Kenny Powell with you, so cool. Okay, if you want to pull the lever marked power, turn to page 48. If you pull the lever marked power less, turn to page 15. I mean, power less is quite the marking. But I mean, power is power. If I learned anything from watching commercials as a child, pow, pow, power! Wheels. Alright, pull the yellow... Oh, wait, neither of them are yellow.
Damn it!
Okay. Boop, make a vote, quick! You got 2 seconds. I'm gonna save this audio file. You know how it works, voting. We're not Iranian here, we understand voting. Well... Since everyone that is paying attention and voting on this are a bunch of fucking assholes, we had votes, equal votes for power and powerless. Alex! Hold up. No, we're gonna do this the long way. I don't have Christian's number. Are we voting for power or powerless? Well, there's two buttons. And it's a tied vote here.
Power or what?
Okay, there's a machine with our friend in it, and he's essentially about to get killed and skinned. We can either vote power or powerless on the buttons we push to save our friend's life.
Power on.
You want power, not powerless.
Who's the friend?
The friend is Jake. You don't know Jake. He's a solid dude.
Is he alright?
He's cool, yeah.
Alright, powerless.
Powerless?
Yeah.
Alright, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, I'll be right there, bye.
Alright. Alright, that is a vote for powerless. Turn to page 15.
You stare at the levers. Power less really meant must mean less power, you think. If the machine has less power, maybe it won't start up. Well, you say to Liz, here goes nothing. You pull the lever marked power less. Sorry, bad choice on your part, Alex. Power less simply means you are powerless. Powerless to do anything that will save Jake. Oh, Alex! God damn it! Or you, or Liz. When you pull the lever, the men in white on overalls turn to look at you. They don't run after you. You know that they know you're not going anywhere. You're powerless to move. Jake is on his way into the skin scraper now. You glance at Liz and gulp.
you turn into the awful machine. Your turn in the awful machine is coming soon. Time to notify your next of kin, because the end is near. In fact, it's here. The end, Alex. Wow. We got two options here. We can either go back or finish. Kind of bummed. I think that's it, yeah. Thanks a lot, Alex, you fucking cunt. I learned a lot about wax and the properties of wax. I learned about not trusting museums. I learned that black teachers are assholes. Hey, thanks a lot, Alex. Really fucked that one up. Hi, Jackie. Yeah, your answer did fucking ruin it. Alright, well, once again, Alex fucked everything up. Like, you fucked up my life and made me overweight and date a horrible person. Cool. Well, I guess I'll go over. So, now that we don't have to deal with idiots, we select the button labeled power. As in Kenny fucking Powers. You stare at the lever marked power. What will happen if you pull it, you wonder. Clearly Alex wasn't wondering the same thing. Do it, Liz whispers. Pull the lever. Don't be an idiot like Alex. Totally is an idiot. And Alex ruins everyone's life. Ooh, just because I'm horsecock McMillan doesn't mean that... You look over at the skin-scraping machine, then back at the lever. The door of the steel tumbler is closed. Jake's muffled cries can be heard from inside. The man in white overalls reaches for the dial to start the machine. His hands almost reach it. You pull the power lever. Once again, I have to check to see if I'm recording. Yes, I am. Kaboom! Sparks fly from the control box, from the dials on the skin scraping machine. All the circuits are shorting out. The man in overalls pulls his hand back and covers his face just before the second kaboom blasts open the door. The whole laboratory is shaking, also laboratory, whatever one you want to say. I feel pretentious saying laboratory. You and Liz hold on to each other and watch as Jake's stretcher rolls out of the tumbler and down the ramp. Jake is still strapped in. His eyes and mouth are still taped shut. He can't see what you see. The chair is rolling wildly out of control. Oh no! Liz cries. He's heading right for the wax-dipping laboratory and laboratory. You cry out together. Oh my goodness, no! God, why? Hey, Alex and Jackie, did you harass Trauma Guy yet? Can I get a job reading trauma books? Page 92. Tip the stretcher over, you call out to Jake. Lean! But the noise of the sparks and short circuits makes it impossible for Jake to hear you. All he hears is... He's a prisoner of the stretcher, and it's taking him to the next step. The final step. The final step! The skin-scraping center is alive, with the workers scrambling to steady themselves and save the equipment. Come on, Liz! You say breathlessly. After Jake! No! Liz cries hopelessly. The end is near! I just know this is gonna be it for us. For all of us.
Turn to page 124.
Uh-oh! SpaghettiOs!
It looks like your end might be here. Yours and Liz's and Jake's. You're in the wax-dipping laboratory, and it's clear now what is going on with this wicked wax museum. You look around for Jake and spy an empty stretcher, but no Jake. Huge vats of hot bubbling wax are lined up across the center of the lab. They're completely giant and full of hot wax, but they couldn't do a number on Dune's back. Oh my god, it's disgusting. Dozens of ropes hang from the scaffolding. Giant machines rumble, tumble, swish, and swirl. Hundreds of wax-dipped figures dangling from drying racks. A voice on the side of the laboratory.
Check out that one.
All right, Dune, let's do your breathing exercises.
O-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E-M-O-W-E
You look... Motherfucker, what?
What page did I turn to?
Check that one for readiness. Yes, Dr. Wicked, replies a worker in white. Now you see him. It's Dr. Izzy Wicked himself, standing on a platform overlooking the lab. A mane of wild white hair frames his hollow face. Don't dip him until you're sure the steaming and skinning has been successful, he orders. Three other workers are gathering around the stainless steel table. When they step back, you see what, or who, they're examining. It's Jake. It's Jake that they're examining. Turn to page 104. Wow, I'm really hoping that we don't have to do the page with the maze in it. This one has a choice, faggots. It's Jake! Liz exclaims out loud. Both the worker and Dr. Wicked swing around to see who spoke. They see you and Liz. After them! Dr. Wicked orders, after them! Run! You shout, run for your stupid fucking worthless life, you cunt! With all the workers in the laboratory coming up after you, there's only one way out of this. Your thoughts are racing as fast as your feet. You've got it! You could climb the scaffolding on the ropes. You could swing down and tackle Dr. Wicked. It's risky. No. It's more than risky. It's life-threatening. But you have no choice other than... But you have no choice other than which ropes to climb. You examine them closely. Some look too thin to support your weight.
Oh. Oh, they're talking to me.
Others are thicker, but starting to fray. Which ones will they choose? If you go for the thin rope...
Page 71...
If you go for a thick, fraying rope, turn to page 80. Thick rope, thin rope, thick rope, thin rope. Durka, 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 black joke.
Oh, once again. Two thicks and a thin. We're going thick so far, boop. But the thick rope is fraying. You gotta understand that. The thin ropes are not fraying. Supposed to be. I think that once you have a 2.5-inch clit, you become a boy. Alright. Thick rope, thin rope. Little rope, black joke. Alright, we're going thick. Boop. Page 80. Go for the thick ones, you instruct Liz.
You and Liz grab the fraying ropes and start climbing.
Get them,
Dr. Wicked shouts, unaware of his totally horrible name. He's not gonna let you get away. He's not gonna let... Oh, yeah, he said he's not... Okay.
I need to stop drinking.
Pull! You encourage Liz. Faster!
Well, let me read it like a romance novel on that one.
Pull! You encourage Liz. Faster. You notice a few strands of rope coming loose under your hands. Maybe we should have taken the other ropes, you think. But there's no time for that now. You've got to climb. It's harder than you thought it would be. The ropes aren't anchored anywhere, so you and Liz swing wildly through the air. What happens next is a total accident. You and Liz were trying to get away, but that's all. But while you're swinging out of control, you accidentally swing into Dr. Wicked! And Liz swings into the whole row of workers, like bowling pins being knocked over by a giant bowling ball. Dr. Wicked and the workers fall into vats of hot wax below. Their screams fill the laboratory. Dr. Wicked is destroyed. Well, that worked out well. It was them or us, you say to Liz, justifying your murder. As you slide down the ropes and land safely. Right, Liz says weakly. Them or us. Mafumba magugdu, a muffled voice says from the table. 115. Jake! You and Liz exclaim together, but this time you call out his name with happiness instead of horror. You turn over to the table he's tied to and pull the tape off his mouth and eyes. What do you think, Liz? You ask, winking at her. Should we unstrap him? After all, he's the one who got us into this mess in the first place. All right, let's kill our friend because he got us into some trouble. You know, that's what we should do. We should murder our friend. That's a you know, reasonable choice. Come on, Jake pleads. That was no picnic for me either, you know? They had me heading for the bath of the century. You and Liz laugh as you untie Jake. He stands up, shakes his legs to get the circulation going, and says, so, what did I miss? Liz rolls her eyes. You're just about to give Jake a friendly punch in the shoulder when you hear a familiar voice. Uh-oh, you say. Here comes trouble.
65.
Mr. Dunning! You, Liz, and Jake all cry at once. What are you doing here? Good question, Mr. Dunning says angrily. I might ask you the same thing. I thought I told your fat asses to wait in the lobby. Jake stammers. Never mind that now. I'll deal with you three later. Maybe missing the wonderful trip was punishment enough. We saw everything there was to see and even met the owner of the museum himself, Dr. Wicked. Haven't seen him lately, though. Anyway, you three really missed out on a lot. I hope you've learned a lesson after this experience. Oh, we sure have, Mr. Dunning, you say. We definitely, positively, surely have. Swag!
Book's over. Shit sucked. anything before I mix this one down? Anyone? No? Swag? There's no prize. I'm sorry, Boop. This is it. The prize was me putting something on the internet that'll stay there forever of me yelling faggot at you. Oh, they were Team Rocket and Mew. Possibly two. All right, anything before I stop this recording? Anyone? Question? Something? Is that swag? 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 Herp? Derp? Jump to swag? Alex? I love you too, Lucas. Yep, it was disappointing as the beginning and the middle. The end. Alright, I love you all. Maybe we can make this like a monthly thing if I wasn't completely miserable with every aspect of my life and just lay around all day drinking and crying and listen to old Loveline and fucking This American Life. But if not, you know, I had fun on Halloween when I hung out with Alex and Jackie, so that's cool. And I'll talk to everyone later. And thanks a lot, Boop and Christian, kinda, and Dana and Lucas and everyone else. And, you know, whatever.
Stay spooky, bitches!